lordship, headship, my weakness and yours, my failures and yours, and how we need deliverance if we put our trust in the Lord. And I wonder if just for a moment we can be occupied purely with the person of the Christ. Amen. So that our hearts will be somehow, if I can use that term, ready, if he kept us here, for tomorrow morning to bless his name, to adore him, to be lost in wonder and amazement. And I want to turn to two verses. You don't have to turn to them, but just if you want to listen to them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the last verse, who is gone unto heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers made subject unto him. This is two verses, dear brethren, but I dare to say that these two verses speak tons of things to us. The first thing, that Christ died for our sins. He is the one who accomplished the work of propitiation. Propitiation to the young people is not a complicated word. It's really expressing the thought of atonement. And atonement, for us to understanding, means covering. But the word propitiation in the Greek language carries one additional meaning that exceeds atonement, and that is to say, Christ covered sins with full satisfaction. That is to say, God has been fully satisfied with the work of atonement that Christ has accomplished on the cross. And we say amen to it. Because Christ died for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. So that speaks of propitiation. That speaks of the work of atonement. And that's what we would remember tomorrow. And I want you to be acquainted with the thought that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. But also he is the just for the unjust. It is the one who took my place. He is the one who accomplished the work of substitution. Not only the one who accomplished the work of propitiation, but also the substitution where he took your place and mine if we put our trust in him. The work of substitution is gained by those who has put their trust in Christ Jesus. And I wonder if there is any young person, any older person, tonight present with us, or this afternoon, that doesn't know Christ as Savior. I want to tell you something, that Christ Jesus is not your substitute. Because you don't know him as Christ and Savior. But if you will put your trust, you will enjoy the forgiveness of sins. And you can take hold of this blessed Savior as your substitute. The just for what? For the unjust. That he might bring us to God. The reconciler. The one who desired to bring what? Many sons unto glory. And dear brethren, when Christ Jesus spoke to Mary of Magdala on resurrection ground. Listen, resurrection ground is a wonderful ground. When Mary of Magdala was talking to Christ Jesus and she was standing on resurrection ground, morally speaking, listen, there is nothing that impresses you on that ground except one person. And that person is Christ Jesus. You know that Mary of Magdala did not pay much attention to angels? She saw two of them. She saw angels that occupied the tomb. And they were standing there. You know what? It's nice, but that's not where my heart is. She was not occupied with angels. She was not occupied with this world. She was not occupied with miracles. Oh, this great stone has been removed. She was occupied with one blessed person. And that blessed person is Christ Jesus. And dear brethren, tomorrow morning, I will suggest, we don't want to be occupied with ourselves. We don't want to be occupied with anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and him being glorified. And that's what's happened. He's the reconciler. He desires to bring us into the knowledge of God the Father. And when he spoke to Mary of Magdala, he says, go tell my brethren. And brethren, tomorrow morning, what a great privilege it is to surround the Lord Jesus as his brethren. And when we surround Him as His brethren, and we remember Him, His desire as well is to bring us to who? To bring us to the blessed God and to the blessed Father. Go tell my brethren that I go to my God and your God, and to you, to my Father and your Father. And brethren, never lose sight that when we go tomorrow morning to remember Him, we do not remember a dead Savior. We do not remember one that went into death and stayed in the grave. We remember one that was raised triumphantly from amongst the dead. Because the last verse of that chapter speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to speak about the death of Christ. But never lose sight that as far as 1 Corinthians 15, if it wasn't for the resurrection, God has stamped His approval upon the work of Christ, where He raised Him and set Him at His right hand. And brethren, what? And He made angels and authorities to be subject unto Him. Listen, we would recall to mind that at one time He was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But brethren, tomorrow morning, if the Lord will keep us here, I'm going to the meeting to remember Him, but not to remember only the one who is in perfect manhood and great humility, was made little lower than angels for the suffering of death. I'm going to also remember one that all the angels and authorities and powers and principalities are set subject unto Him, because He is unique and supreme. And brethren, that's what we want to remember. We want to remember this tomorrow and make Him supreme and exalt Him and lift Him high, because that will what would delight the heart of God. And I dare to say, that will delight our hearts as well. May it be so for His name's sake.
Amen. Amen.